بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، brothers and sisters in Islam, today is hadith 26 of the 40 hadith on the call to Islam. The way to educate and cultivate. From Aisha radiallahu anha, he said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يا عائشة إن الله رفيق يحب الرفق ويعطي على الرفق ما لا يعطي على العنف وما لا يعطي على ما سوى. عائشة، indeed Allah is gentle and loves gentleness and gives due to gentleness what he does not give due to harshness, and what he does not give due to other damage. The hadith is reported by Muslim. So, the title is the way to educate and cultivate. How to educate people, how you teach them, how you discipline them, how you teach them etiquette, how you teach them the best manners and the best way of handling other people, dealing with other people, etc. If you read the hadith in its context, then you understand that it is really relevant to the process of teaching. Aisha said this, the Prophet ﷺ commented and he said what he said to Aisha, because Aisha reacted angrily when she heard the Jews betraying the Prophet Salam, or the way the Jews saluted, the Prophet ﷺ. Because the Jews, they know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah told us in the Quran, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, that they know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as they know their own children. And you know that you will not make a mistake between your children, because everyone knows his children very well. So that means they know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very well, and yet they didn't accept him. Not only that, they didn't accept him, they tried to kill him, they tried to fight him, they tried all their different means to get rid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they saluted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will not say as-salam, as-salam, because the Arabic language and the Jewish or the Hebrew language are sister languages. Hebrew, Arabic and Aramaic, these are sister languages, Semitic languages, even the grammar is similar, words are similar, etc. So the Jews in the Talmud, they say Shalom or Salam. So instead of saying As-Salam, As-Salam means peace, they would say Salam, As-Salam alayka Muhammad, As-Salam. As-Salam, Surah doesn't mean As-Salam, As-Salam means death. So they are saying death be upon you, O Muhammad, death. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he knew what they uttered and what they said, and he replied and he said, Alaykum, death be upon you. That's what he said, Alaykum. Aisha, radiallahu anha, when she heard that, she couldn't tolerate it and she couldn't keep patient. So she reacted and she said, As-salamu alayka wa ala abik. The Salam death be upon you and your father. Upon hearing that, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he corrected Aisha. He said, Aisha, don't do that. And that's the hadith, this is what we have now. That was the reply from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, correcting Aisha, not accepting her reaction and what she said. She said, didn't you hear what they said? Didn't you hear what they said? She said, didn't you hear what I replied? Yes, what I said is enough. Are you following brothers and sisters? So now, here the Prophet was teaching Aisha, Ya Aisha, O Aisha, Inna Allah Rafiqun Yuhibbu Rifqa. Allah, indeed Allah is kind, gentle, and loves gentleness, kindness. You should be kind. You should not be harsh, even with our enemies. Because gentleness and kindness and being gentle, it is, as a matter of fact, a noble quality. When one possesses that quality, it beautifies his character and it influences and it affects the listener and the one whom you are calling. Because the one whom you are inviting to Islam, whom you are calling to Islam, he will be impressed by such outstanding character. Are you following, brothers and sisters? So here, the Prophet ﷺ is correcting Aisha, advising Aisha, and of course advising all of us. Indeed, Allah is gentle and loves gentleness. So we need to be very gentle in our dealings with and ways of contacting others. Ways of contacting others, you have to be very, very gentle. Because this gentleness, Allah loves it. There's no need for us to be harsh. Why could we be harsh to the people when we have the truth with us? So, the truth which we have, when we present it, it will expose and eradicate and wipe away the falsehood, because falsehood has no ground, it is rootless, and the truth stands clear by itself. So we have the truth, so we can present it to people in the most acceptable way and manner. So the people who have common sense, people who are upon the fitrah with the sound فطرة فاين نيتشر هو اللي اكتشفه. So there's no need actually to be hard with the people, especially in the field of the da'wah. So indeed Allah is gentle, إن الله رفيق. This word رفيق is a very useful word, that's terrific, kindness, gentleness, etc. And he loves this quality. ويعطي على الرفقة ما لا يعطي على العين. And because if you have this noble quality, the quality of being rafiq or gentle, and Allah gives due to because of gentleness, but He does not give due to harshness. When you are gentle, the fruit or the outcome is unbelievable. Now I'll tell you something, especially in the field of the da'wah. And this is a secret I want to share with you. Once you manage as a da'i or a kaula, a predicator, once you manage to reach the heart or to touch the heart of the people, finish. When you surrender, they will give you whatever you want. That is the trick. The trick that is to reach the heart. Once you reach the heart, then they will listen to you and they will give you whatever you want. So the da'is, they have to concentrate in this area. How to reach the heart of the people? Once you reach my heart and you touch my heart, then I will touch you and I will love you and I will listen to you. But if you didn't manage to touch my heart, then as many of the messiahs said, what comes from the heart goes to the heart. What comes from your heart, from the heart of the da'i, goes to the heart of the listener. And what comes from the lips, just it enter from one ear, leaves from the other. And this, of course, necessitates that we as da'i, we need to check our niyyah and our replies, sincerity, etc. So here the Prophet is telling us that Allah gives great reward for those who are gentle and those who desire this quality, noble quality of gentleness. And He doesn't give for the ones who have the quality of harshness. Those who are harsh, those who try to hurt people's feelings, try to touch people's wounds rather than try to help them to heal their wounds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love this quality, and naturally He will not reward a person who is having that ignoble quality. Are you following? Is this clear to everyone? So if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you greatly and to love you, then you need to be gentle. Those who are harsh, Allah doesn't like them. Allah doesn't like that quality. وَمَا لَيَعْتِ عَلَى مَا سِوَاهُ, and what He does not give you to other than it. That means gentleness is the best thing and good quality and quality that everyone should strive to beautify himself in. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he made it very clear, and he said, مَنْ يُحْرَمَ الرِّزْقَ يُحْرَمَ الْخَيْرِ كُلَّهُ. He is void of gentleness, void, empty of gentleness, then he is void of any good. He has no good in him. There is no goodness in him. is deprived of all the khair. When he doesn't, a person who doesn't have this gentleness, he's deprived of all the khair. And this shows the merit and the importance of the gentleness or the risk. So if you don't have this, you try to acquire it, try to train yourself till you get this quality. Is this clear before you receive the second hadith, next hadith? Okay. Hadith number 27. Between having knowledge and action upon it. This is actually the touchstone or the archetype that what you learn, you put it into practice. Anas ibn Malik رضي الله تعالى عنه said that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said رأيت ليلة إسريا بي رجالا تقرض كفاههم بمقاريض من نار فقلت من هؤلاء يا جبريل فقال الخطباء من أمتك يأمرون الناس بالبر وينسون أنفسهم وهم يتلون الكتاب أفلا يحسبون. When I was taking the night journey, the Isra, I saw some men whose lips were being cut with scissors of fire. So I asked, who are they, O Jibreel? He said, the teachers from your Ummah, to order the people with righteousness, but leave it themselves. While they recite the book, will they not understand? So this is really a story for you. Reported by Ibn Hibban and this authentic hadith. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ saw on the night of ascension. So what you think you need to practice. As one of the Messiah said, he said, your words, you are, when you utter your words, you hear them before anyone. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to act upon our words and whatever we say. So this is that you have to, but this doesn't mean, we have also to elaborate here. It doesn't mean that if you have drawbacks, then you stop preaching. This is also another point. This is another trick of the Shaitan. That you teach the people and you try your best, but sometimes you don't implement whatever you tell the people. Now, does that mean then you should stop what you are doing? If you do that, then you will never have one teacher, because you will never find a teacher who is doing everything, because you are human beings. We have our own faith, we have our own drawbacks, etc. That's why Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was asked about this question, so then who will be addressing, who will be reminding the people that only those who are perfect should take? But it is a matter that everyone should decide and try to perfect himself and try to excel as much as he can, or as much as she can. When they told Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, there are scholars who teach us good things, but also they are doing also other things which we don't like. You know what Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah said? He said, you take the fruit and you eat the same. Take the fruit, pick the fruit, and leave the same. Don't take the same. Which means, take the good things which they give you, and the bad things that which you don't like, you avoid that. Are you following? So what this church said, the good things that he said, okay, take that. The bad things if you have listened or you've heard him mentioning, so don't accept them, just leave them. But don't leave the church totally, because he made you mistakes or sometimes blunders he made, and you trust him out. Would you just, this is another point I would like to emphasize upon. Some people, if they find any person with a mistake, they trust him out. If you say apply this technique to every human being, you will never find anyone who's perfect, including yourself. You have to trust yourself out also. Why? Because the Prophet made this clear to us. I'm talking about people who are upon Kitab and Sunnah, definitely, and they have all their own drawbacks and shortcomings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that human beings are going to err, they are going to err, and they are going to make mistakes. In the hadith which is known to many of you, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابين. Every single one of Adam are prone to making errors. All of them. And the best among them are those who often return to Allah, often repent. So it's the nature, human beings they are like that. That's why you are called insan. Insan they say because of Islam, because he forgets. That's why he's called insan. Why you are called human beings insan? He forgets. Our father, Adam alayhi salam, in the Jannah, Allah told him, don't eat from this tree. But what happened to him? Come here. He forgot. Adam forgot, and he ate from the tree, which Allah warned him. In advance, don't touch it. But he forgot. So this is the nature of humans. Human beings are like that. So you have to balance. You should not be idealistic and look to be you or the scholars and as angels. You should not angelize them. They are not angels. They are human beings at the end of the day. Just like any one of you. They get angry, they feel happy, they have problems, they have families, they have children, they experience sorrow and happiness. They are human. So don't forget this factor. So, the good things that they teach you, take it. And the mistakes which they make are their welcome. And of course, this doesn't mean that we don't correct them. They are where our level of understanding or knowledge is less than the scholars. The students of the scholars, they should, as a matter of fact, correct their scholars and their messiah. But of course, in the best manner, in the best way. My shaykh made a mistake. when you are alone, I have to say my faith. I will not tell him that you made a mistake, but I say my respected faith. I have a query, I have a question, I have doubt. But some people, they say this, and I will mention what they said. And my problem with accepting such a claim or such a verdict is that it goes against this evidence or that evidence, and then I will start mentioning the truth and the evidences from the Kitab and the Sunnah, which he was not aware of. Or what the other scholars have said. So my dear sir, I would love that you clarify this and remove this doubt from my mind. The Sheikh is smart enough, so he will just tap you on your shoulder and say, well done. Barakallah fi. May Allah bless you, my son. The message reached the Sheikh, and you put it in a nice way to him. And who would like to you, and who will pay attention to you more, and who will consider you that you are going to be, inshallah, one of his successors, who will take his aim and spread it after him. But if you sit in his study circle and arguing with him and try to expose him or to mention his mistakes in front of the people, he would not love that. And maybe he would tell you, I don't want you to attend my study circle. And you will lose a lot of ilm and knowledge because of your arrogance and lack of manners. So these are that the way works. They are humans, but also there is a way to give them the nasiha. Give them the nasiha. You know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ لَعَالِمِنَا قَدْرَهُ. He is not one of us, the one who doesn't respect our scholars. Listen to me, brothers, those who talk about the scholars of Islam, and they call them scholars for dollars, or government scholars. What do you think of this hadith? لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ لَعَالِمِنَا قَدْرَهُ. He's not one of us, the one who doesn't respect and show respect to our scholars. Okay, is this clear to everyone before we move to the Hadith 78? Okay, Hadith 78 is carefulness and precision. Precision of the caller. So you have to be careful and you have to be precise. As a guide, careful in what you mention, what you quote, and decide when you convey the message. You have to be very precise. So precision is very is needed and required. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كفى بالمرء كذبا أن يحدث بكل ما سمع. It is sufficient self-hate for a person that he narrates everything which he heard. Whatever he hears, he narrates it. So whatever you hear, you don't narrate. So you don't narrate whatever you hear. So it is sufficient self-hate for a person that he narrates everything which he hears. This hadith is reported by Muslim. Tamam. Many people, they just relate whatever they hear. I've heard it from somewhere. And even that, many times when I ask you, where did you read it? He said, no, just I heard it. No. When you hear something, verify it. Verify that. Check it. Ask the person. Okay, now I know your reference. So don't accept anything just like that. Verify whatever you hear. Well, I trust this person now. Don't do that. Even if you trust him, you can ask also for the evidence and proof. You ask for evidence, you ask for proof. Okay? So now, because sometimes a person, if you ask him for the denial or for the proof or for the evidence, he gets angry. So why, don't you trust me? So yes, I do trust you, but what is wrong if I'm asking you for the evidence? I want to know the evidence so that I can quote it next time when I'm quoting what you are teaching me. This has nothing to do with our trust or confidence. Don't you know that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asked Allah to tell him how to give life to the dead. Prophet Ibrahim said, Rabbi Arini Sayyidah Tahir Mayta, O Allah, my Lord, tell me how to give life to the dead. Allah asked him, Allah lam tu'min? Haven't you been, O Ibrahim? Ibrahim says, Bala. Quite ideally. Walakin yatma'inna qalbi. Just I want more certainty. I want more yaqeen, more strength. I want to see with my own eyes. Allah tells him, okay. Fahid arba'atun min at-tayr. Take four pigeons. Cut them. Mix your flesh together and then distribute the flesh upon the mountains around you and then tell them and they will come to you flapping their wings. Some of the narrations said that he cut the head of the pigeons in his hand and the bodies came flapping without the head. And then he put the head to every pigeon. SubhanAllah. So when Ibrahim, he saw this happening before his eyes, this is something his iman reached the sky. When you say something is happening before your eyes. So Ibrahim asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim asked Allah something which will give him more strength to ascertain what he had, believe already what he has in his heart. So I'm asking you only for the evidence. Why are you getting angry? So you must get angry when I'm asking you for the belief. Unless you don't have a belief, that is your problem. Are you following me? So you don't follow just a person like that blindly. And if we follow this technique, asking for our being and asking for the the evidence and the dalil, of course, not every issue you ask for evidence, you ask. Because here also some brothers, they go to the school, for everything they want evidence. They want evidence that they can eat with me. What is this? You want an evidence that hamburger is a fake, is halal? No. There are certain rules, there are general rules, and principles, we apply them. So here, the Prophet of Allah, he warns us, he says, فَفَعْدِ الْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَبِّبَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمَعَ It's a sufficient falsehood for a person that he narrates everything he hears. So you should not narrate whatever you hear. You verify. You check. Because sometimes people they hear things wrongly. You said something, but the one who heard you is the opposite of what you said. One of our messiahs, he made an experiment, a test for his students. There were a handful of students around him. So he said to the one next to him, the first one very close next to him, he said, he whispered into his ear and he said, I want you to pass what I told you also to the next one. You tell him what you heard from me. Also whisper that into his ear. So he did that. By the time the information reached the last one, and these are his students, by the time it reached the last one, it was completely distorted from what the chef said. Entirely different. He said, you see, you are my student. You are my student and see what you did. You are my student and see what you did. What do you expect the masses when they are in a gathering, hundreds of people, to everyone who understands something else? So that's why you need to be precise and make sure that what you heard is what the Sheikh said, and make sure that what you understood is what the Sheikh meant. Maybe you understood something different from what the Sheikh meant. So if you understood from the Sheikh something, verify it with the Sheikh. Go to the Sheikh and ask him. So Sheikh, you said this and this I've understood. Is this what you meant? The Sheikh has to say yes or no. And that's it. Not that you leave the lecture or the gathering with your own understanding, and then you start spreading that in the forums here and there. The Sheikh said this, the Sheikh said that, and the Sheikh didn't say that. That is your understanding, that's what you understood. Are you following me, brothers and sisters? That's why I warn everyone who listens to me that you don't convey anything till you verify that this is what I meant. I repeat. Don't convey anything on my behalf till you verify that what I said is and what you understood is what I meant. That's why I keep asking you, is this clear or is this clear? Is this clear to everyone? Okay, good. So the da'i has to be very careful and he should choose his words carefully. because in some places and some at some time the guy is has to be very, very cautious, like in our days nowadays. This in this day, we find now the da'i should be very cautious. Because there are people who are hunting in public waters and they just wanted to try to take anything. So don't relate or narrate whatever you hear. Because that is enough to make you a liar. That's sufficient falsehood. It is sufficient to make you a liar. So never, never relate or narrate whatever you hear. Especially when you are quoting the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many, many guys, they quote the hadith which are weak and sometimes fabricated, spurious. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said that. Listen to this saddening story. There was a khatib giving khutbah, Friday sermon. And the oldest feature of the sermon is he was using a hadith which is fabricated, a lie. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say, serious. And the people were kind. When the khutbah finished, after the Salah, there was a student of hadith knowledge in the masjid. So he approached the Imam to say, the hadith which he used in the khutbah is mawdu' hadith. The hadith said, yes, I know it is mawdu', it is from the book of al-mawdu'at by Imam Ibn al-Jawzi. This jahil khatib, ignorant khatib, he said mawdu' means there is a book by Imam Ibn al-Jawzi. It says al-mawdu'at, it means the spurious and fabricated ahadith. So Imam Ibn al-Jawzi was muhaddith. So he compiled the book and he placed in that book many ahadith which are fabricated to warn the Muslims that if you come across one of these ahadith, make sure, know that it is not the Prophet ﷺ didn't say it, it is fabricated. Period. But this ignorant khatib, he said that mawdu'at is the plural of mawdu'ah, which means subject. So mawdu'at means different subject. So why did he say, oh, this is the mawdu'at of Ibn al-Jawzi, he said, you see, listen, you know what's the meaning of mawdu'at? It means untrue hadith. Serious, fabricated. And all the khutbah you are lying against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many, many khatibs, they are like that. So that's why not everything you hear, you relate it. Especially the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Especially those who are not scholars or students of knowledge. Because many now of the da'is in the Islamic world, they are professionals, doctors or engineers, whatever, and they did not study the ilm shar'i in the traditional way. So when it comes to the hadith, most of the time you find them quoting ahadith that are not true. And the Sufis in particular, the Sufis. So you have to be very careful when you listen to their talks or lectures. So you need to verify and check whatever hadith they mention. This ijaza, the ijaza the series that are talking about, is elevated the barakah. Because what is ijaza? Ijaza, okay, I tell you, I give you this ijaza to read my book. Because he also gets the ijaza from another church. And most of those who have the ijaza, they did not actually study the ilm. Because I have ijaza, I can give it to my children. I can give the ijaza to my children. And not necessarily that they studied the ilm. So this is it. So don't be deceived. When you see those students and their size, I have this number of ijaza. It is nothing. The ijaza there, it is nothing. That's it. It has, doesn't have that value. They are using these things to impress the people. But when they talk and you discuss with them, you can find them they are empty. They don't know that ilm, the ilm of hadith, as a matter of fact. So you have to understand it. Ijaza, when I give you the ijaza from the word ajaza, means I certify or permit or authorize so and so to relate my books, for instance, the books I have compiled, or to give him my isnad. And there are many people, for instance, there is a site on the internet, of course, where the students of Mali is called ahlalhadith.com. It is beautiful, all students of hadith only. So, they mention there a lady, her isnad is first isnad to the Prophet, and she's ancient. Of course, this isnad, and she is in Hadramaut, and she's ancient. So, not necessarily you have isnad, but you are a scholar. Some of her forefathers, they have this now, so also they gave it to their children. Are you following me, brothers and sisters? So this beautiful hadith, you have always to remember. It's a sufficient falsehood for a person that he narrates everything which he hears. Whatever you hear, should not narrate it. So you are very tired. Number one. Number two, not everything that you know, you tell. Don't you know that sometimes it is permissible to hide the end, the knowledge, if it is going to be misunderstood or misused? You don't teach it. You don't teach it. It is going to be misunderstood or be misused. Like the hadith in Sahih Muslim. When the Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Hurairah, whoever you find behind this wall testifies that there is no deity worthy of being worshipped but Allah and Muhammad and the Messenger of Allah, give him the good news that is going to Jannah. Abu Hurairah, he went, and the first one he met was Umar ibn Khattab. So, three schools are these schools, this sort of school. So, these are the Prophet schools. And he told me to tell Hayyadah, testifies there is no God worthy of being worshipped with Allah. And Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah that is going to the Jannah. Umar hit Abu Hurairah immediately. He hit him. And he told him, okay, take me to the Prophet. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he came to the Prophet and he said, O Prophet of Allah, did you tell Abu Hurairah to say this? He said, yes. He said, O Prophet of Allah, please don't do that. He said, why, Umar? He said, lest they rely on the promise. The people that were not aware of that, they would say, okay, you believe in Allah and you believe in His Prophet, and that's it. And what Umar feared 1300 years ago is what is happening nowadays among the Muslims. So what the Prophet said? The Prophet said to Abu Hurairah, don't tell the Muslim then, don't tell them. And the Prophet also, he said this also to Mu'adh. When Mu'adh was riding behind the Prophet in the Hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, and then he turned to Mu'adh and said, oh Mu'adh, do you know Allah's right upon his slave? Said, Allah and his Prophet do know better. Said, Allah's right upon us, that we worship him without appreciating any part of us. And do you know our right upon Allah? He said, Allah and his Prophet know better. He said, and our right upon Allah that he will not punish those who did not associate any part with him. Now I said, oh, shouldn't I inform the people, O Prophet of Allah, this is a good news, shouldn't I convey this good news to them? Then no, let them rely on the promise. Then tell them. And Mu'adh mentioned this hadith only when he was dying out of the fear that he might die while concealing ilm. In the 11th, and breathing his last, he mentioned this hadith. So it takes some time, permissible and recommended to hide the ilm, if it is going to be misunderstood or is going to be misused. That's why the Salaf, during the time of Fitan, they stopped mentioning the ahadith about the Fitan. The Muhaddithun, the Salaf, Salaf of Hadith, when they were afflicting Somalis, they stopped mentioning the ahadith of Fitan. Because if they mention the hadith of Fitan, it will make it worse. So they don't mention that. When the Khawarij started using the hadith that talk about the perpetrators of major sins, the Salaf, they stopped mentioning this hadith. Because people will misunderstand the hadith. I regret that I mentioned the hadith of the Khawarij to Al-Hajjaj. Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. I must mention the hadith about the Khawarij. Then he said, I regret that I mentioned it to him because he started applying it to every Muslim. Anyone who is against the Umayyad ruling, he considered him a Khariji. And this is exactly what is happening today. Everyone who talks about the issues of Tahkim and ruling by the Book of Allah, oh, he's a Khariji, he's from the Khawarij. Or he's a Khariji. See? You say that people should be ruled by the Book of Allah, oh, he's from the Khawarij, he's from the Tahkim. Right? Because people, they left the criteria or the criterion by which they weigh things and judge things. Are you following me? Is this clear to everyone? Okay, Hadith 29, Hadith number 29. The value of one's time. Talks about time. Al-Jubayr ibn Hadith said, Dakhalna ala Anas ibn Malik, fasakayna ilayhi ma nalqa من الحجاج فقال اصبروا لا يأتي عليكم زمان إلا بالذي بعده شر منه حتى تلقوا ربكم. سمعت هذا من نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالزبير بن عدي رضي الله عنه said, we entered upon Anas ibn Malik. And Anas ibn Malik is one of the Sahaba رضي الله عنه. And complained to him what we suffered from Al-Hajjaj. Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. So he said, have patience, sabr. A time will not come upon you except that what comes after it is worse than it until you meet your Lord. I heard this from your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Bukhari. But on a state, my advice to you, Sabbath, be patient. Because I have heard from your Prophet that he said, the time that will come will be worse than our time. And things are relative, of course. Now, the time of Al-Hajjaj to us is a golden age. We wish that we have that time of Al-Hajjaj. As one of the Messiah said, if Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf today among us, we'll ask him to meet us for the Istisqa prayer for the rain, because he will be the most pious among us. Al-Hajjaj today will be the most pious among us. So the Al-Hajjaj we have, we say, okay, we need a next du'a for us for the pious. So, things are relative. Because this Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, as Imam Dahari said, he said he has good things and bad things, but the good things that he did, they are completely deserved in this age of his sin. This was Al-Hajjaj. Okay. He's the one who killed Ibn Jubayr, he's the one who killed Sa'id ibn Jubayr. So much so that one day he was swimming in the river, the Euphrates or the Tigris in Iraq, and he was nearly to drown. So a person jumped and saved him. So the people, they blamed him. Why didn't you save him? Said, I didn't want him to die as a martyr. I didn't see the hatred. Said, I didn't want him to die as a martyr. That's why I saved him. So here in this hadith, Anas رضي الله عنه, he advised the Sahaba. Said, be patient. Because, subhanAllah, this when the Sahaba who revolted against the Umayyad, what happened to them? Like Al-Husayn ibn Ali. He revolted against Yazid. He was executed, he was killed, he was tortured. Ibn al-As'ad, the same thing happened to him. So, because patience is needed. So you need to have the sabr. And this is what we lack. Muslims now don't lack this quality, the quality of sabr. They don't have sabr. So Anas was giving them this nasihat, Buru, la ya'ti alaykum zaman illa billadhi ba'dahu sharrun minhu. It is true. And I'm sure. Just look at it. Look around you. If you are now 30 years or 50 years, the people you say were good or today. Give me feedback, please. With respect to manners and heart. Today or before? Speak the people before. People before. And every generation comes worse than the one before them. I'm sure. Think to use that is we tell the people, the Muslims, that Muslim women will be walking naked, showing their bellies, showing their breasts, showing their aura, or 100 years back, we don't believe you. But today, you see the mother is wearing hijab, jilbab, and her daughter next to her is almost naked, because that is the fashion. Understand? You can see. So people, things are getting worse. Things are getting worse. And that's what I'm saying. Have taken the time, will not come up on your head. That what comes after it is worse than it. What you have? A time will come which is worse than what you have. Until you meet Allah. Until you meet Allah. Till the end of the world. It will go like that. Things are deteriorating. Things are deteriorating. That is the general trend. There are exceptions, exceptions are exceptions. But the law, the curve is descending, going down. Is this clear to everyone? I have heard that from your prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all these afflictions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast upon the true deen till we meet our Lord. And he is happy with us. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of your brothers and sisters for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khayra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.